Yeah. Okay, let's get started. Good evening, everybody. So tonight, it just occurred to me as I'm looking at the two shilas that we're going to discuss tonight that this is the Stern College edition of From the Rabbi's Desk, because both of these shilas, there aren't going to be any Stern girls here. You don't have to get nervous, but or excited or whatever feelings that would stir up inside of you. They don't have to be stirred up. But both of these shilas come from our Midtown campus, and they are as follows. So shila number one was from a rabbi in Stern, as he forwarded me a shila that one of the students asked, and it reads as follows. There is a dating activity where you reserve a room in the city, and it's empty. I mean, there's a pool table, there's a couch, a speaker, there's lighting, it's cool. But the door is locked and you reserve the room, and when you go at the time of your reservation, you can unlock the door with your phone, and then you enter the room and the door is locked to anyone outside. So my question is it Yichud? It's called Shark Pool. It's a popular dating place. It's a question because an employee may enter and view the cameras of the room at any time. So that is shaila number one. Can you go on a date? First, just by a show of hands, how many of you have heard of Shark Pool? Oh, you have? Did you ever take your wife to the shark? You did?
But a friend of mine had asked the shadow, and they were...
Don't
listen
up.
No!
It's
being
the door, so you don't have to lock the door. You could, put something...
Oh, you could put something in the door to prevent the door from locking.
Yeah.
So that's what you did?
No.
So... your friend asked the Shiloh, was told what to do to make it mutter, and you said, you know, I'm going to do the Usher way. Okay, good. Very good. Excellent, excellent. We won't... All right, it's okay. You don't need a shidduch anymore. Okay, a second Shiloh from a Stern College student. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I had a question that came up this week that I was hoping you could help with. Stern has an open salad bar where girls can fill a container and pay by weight. This week, when I was taking some salad, a tomato fell out of the spoon and onto the counter. Without thinking, I said a bracha out loud. But before I put the tomato in my mouth, I realized that it's probably stealing to eat the tomato because it wasn't paid for, it wasn't weighed yet. So would it be better to eat the tomato, possible stealing, or not eat the tomato after I said the bracha, so possible bracha levatala? So Shaila, huh? A stark girl, right? I was going to say, send shidduch resume. I will pass around at the shir. Right? That's pretty.
Stoma didn't block the shark.
So that's okay. So these are the two Shailas. Both, I think both very good Shailas this week. If I had a vote, I wouldn't know what I would vote. So all those who would prefer to talk about yichud in. It's not, what's it called? Shark pool. Yichud, I guess Shark Tank was already taken. Yichud in shark pool. Okay, all those who want to talk about fallen tomatoes. All right, looks like fallen tomatoes wins. The fallen tomato is a... let's see what the Zoom chevra said. Oh, Henry is here. Okay, Menachem Aaron? All right, Menachem Aaron's very happy to see that Henry's here. Okay, so we got, the fallen tomato wins on the Zoom also. Okay, so let's discuss the fallen tomato. So first of all, it's not a totally unique Shiloh. It sounds like a very unique Shiloh, but it's not entirely unique. First of all, because it comes up in many different contexts, where a person says a bracha and then realizes after they say a bracha, I really shouldn't be eating. What other contexts would that happen in, where you say a bracha and then realize after you say the bracha, you really shouldn't be eating? Tainus, good. If a person just says bracha on a tainus. Many years ago when I was teaching in DRS, it was Rabbi Kamenetsky, he's very machmir not to talk during davening at all, like the chlal, not even. So he came over to me during Chazar Shatz with a note that said a particular shaila and then 10-minute halacha question mark, and the note said that morning he was given, it was a Friday morning, it was Asar B'Teves, right, Asar B'Teves, and he was giving his Friday morning parsha shir, and in the middle of the Friday morning parsha shir he started getting parched and he was like coughing a little bit, so someone came and you know, one of the, but it was a, it's a Friday morning parsha for Balabatim, for not for the students, for the parents. So someone came and brought him a cup of water. And you know, if you know Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, I'm sure many of you have been in NCSY Kol, he is, when he's learning, like there is nothing else that's going on in the world. You know, he gets very, very into it and very excited about it. So he was saying the shir and there was a cup of water. He says, oh, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hamashiach Kol Nivod Varo. And then he was about to drink it, and someone said, "Ah, it's Asar B'Teves." Right. So that's a similar shaila, not exactly the same, but it's a similar shaila. Where else would it come up?
Meat and dairy.
Meat and dairy. Right. You've eaten fleishiks, and you're not yet okay to eat anything but the oat milk flavors at 16 handles, which I haven't tried yet. Anyone try that yet? No? Okay, I gotta, okay, let me know. Or I'll let you know, more likely. I'm a big fan. So you have a milk, a ice cream, and you say, Baruch Adash, Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Hamashiach, Kol Nivod Varo, and then you realize it's only been 2 hours since you finished fleishiks. A third example.
Maybe when it's
18th, let's say during the 9 days, let's say you say a bracha on meat during 9 days, that comes up a lot. I get that shayla every summer. Someone realizes that they shouldn't be having meat.
Before Shacharis,
good.
Shabbos morning, not having heard Kiddush.
Or the reverse of Matzai Shabbos, not having heard Avdallah. Good, so all of these shaylas come up all the time. But this is unique, because in this, on this particular one, the flip side of it is a dine mamonos issue. Meaning most of the time it's iser v'heter and iser v'heter. It's all in ritual law. Over here, the flip side of it is that you're stealing a piece of a tomato, right? So it's a dine mamonos issue. So here are the issues that we need to discuss. First of all, we need to talk about bracha levatala. How bad of an avera is bracha levatala? Then we could talk a little bit about stealing, and whether stealing a tomato that has already fallen on the counter is considered stealing, and whether even if you plan on paying it back, is it considered problematic? Meaning, let's say you'll give an extra nickel when you get to the, or you'll hold down your salad, you know, like a little bit more. You'll put your finger on it to hold it down a little bit, add a little weight when they're weighing the salad or something like that. Then we can talk about what the eitzos are. Meaning, can't you just say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Adonai Ve'ed, and then you'll have solved all the problems? Isn't that how you do it? Saying Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Adonai Ve'ed solves it. And then we can talk about like eitzos in this particular case. The Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Adonai Ve'ed works in all the cases if it works. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work in any of the cases. So we'll have to talk about what that is. But then we can talk about like some eitzos over here, because I mentioned this to my talmidim in the smicha shir, and some of them had very interesting ideas of how to deal with it that I thought were somewhat creative. So let's start at the beginning. The problem of bracha levatala. So bracha levatala, is it daraisa or is it drabanan? All those who think daraisa. No? So what pasuk? Oh, well, see, good. Yeah, you have to have a pasuk if it's daraisa. Good. And all those who think drabanan, what about the pasuk? It's not Shem Hashav. Why not?
It's a true statement.
Good, because you're saying a true statement. You're saying Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hamashiach Kol Nivod Varo. It's all true. Everything about that, you know, to just scream out Shem Hashem out of context in the middle of nowhere. So that's saying Hashem's name in vain. But if you say an actual true statement, maybe that's not an Issa D'Oraisa. There is a separate Issa D'Rabbanan, maybe called Brach L'Vatala. So whether that's true or not, whether it's an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan, is a major Machlokas Rishonim. Here's what the Gemara has to say about it. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lam Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Tarmi Tarvayu. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish both agreed. Kala Mevarich Bracha She'ena Tzricha Over Mishum Lo Sisa. That if you say Bracha She'ena Tzricha, you have violated Lo Sisa. That seems to be a Raya. That's Zaraisa. It seems pretty clear. The Rambam, in Shuvas HaRambam Simen Pei Dalid, Paskins, Bracha Levatala is an Isler Min HaTorah. However, tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lam Gimel, the Rosh in the first part of Maseches Kiddushin both say, nah, Pasuk's only an Asmachta. When it says over Mishum, it doesn't really mean that it's a violation of. Sometimes Mishum is an indication that it's not really from the Pasuk. Sometimes we'll use the term Mishum as an indication that it's, that it's not exactly a Doraisa. And the Rosh and Tosfos bring a Raya. Because you have a Gemara that sounds like it's Doraisa, I'll bring you a Gemara that sounds like it's not Doraisa. Because the Gemara Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph says, Safik Amar Emes V'Yatziv, Safik Lo Amar. If you're not sure whether you said Emes V'Yatziv or not, what do you do? You know, Rav Shachter always used to comment that he doesn't understand what that even means. Not sure whether you said, like, you know, there are halachs, but if you're not sure whether you said Yalav Yav or not sure. You were just talking to Hashem. How could you not be sure what you said to him? Like, he didn't like chap why there would be halachos of this, you know, like if you're talking to Hashem, but you're like, you know, didn't realize that some people are somewhat mindlessly, you know, talking to Hashem. So he just couldn't, he couldn't fathom such a thing. But the Gemara says, Savik Amar Emes V'Yatziv, Savik Lo Amar, Chozer V'Yomer Emes V'Yatziv, you say Emes V'Yatziv again, my time, because Emes V'Yatziv Midor Raisa, because Emes V'Yatziv is Dor Raisa. Apparently, Bracha Shein Etzricha is Dor Raisa, so you can't put yourself in a Savik Issa Dor Raisa when you repeat Emes V'Yatziv. Did I say this wrong? Savig Omer Emes V'Yatziv, Savig Lo Omer, Chozer V'Omer Emes V'Yatziv. Yeah, my time, Emes V'Yatziv Dor Raisa. So that's the Raya that Tosas and the Rush bring, that had it not been that Emes V'Yatziv is Dor Raisa, then for sure you wouldn't be allowed to repeat it, because the Brach Shein Tzricha itself would be in Isser Dor Raisa. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Sim Reish Tez Vav Siv Vav, paskins call him Varech Bracha Shein Etzricha Hare Ze Nosei Shem Shemayim L'Shav V'Hare Hu Kinishba L'Shav. It's you said Hashem's name in vain, and it's as if you swore in vain. And when you swear in vain, D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan D'Oraisa. The comparison seems to suggest that the Mechaber holds D'Oraisa, which is not so surprising, because the Rambam holds D'Oraisa, and the Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's D'Oraisa. Rav Vad Yosef is quick to point out in many places, including in Yabia Omer Cheliches or Chaim Simin Yotes, that even if you hold Drabanan, it's like a very low level Drabanan. It's not, I mean, opposite, a very high level Drabanan, a Drabanan Chamur. It's considered, Brach Levatel is considered a much more Chamur Dike Isra Drabanan. The logic would be, what do you mean? How do you know that it's a more Chamur Dike Isra Drabanan? So there is this concept. If it's Drabanan, it's an Asmachta. We're choosing an Asmachta from where? From which Pasuk? From the Aseres Adibros, right? We're choosing an Asmachta from like a very, very serious portion of the Torah. What does Asmachta mean exactly? Why does the Pasuk mean it, or does the Pasuk not mean it when we have an Asmachta? So there is a possibility that's quoted by Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzer in the name of Likutei Maharil. He says, this is just an interesting idea about Asmachta. He says, Kol hecha di'itmar midrabanan v'kra Asmachta bi'alma. Whenever the Gemara says, midrabanan v'kra Asmachta bi'alma, hachi perusho, says Likutei Maharil, this is what it means. Devatei takanta d'rabanan hu. Vehim yatsu batku matzlam smach mikra. It's purely d'rabanan. They found a pasuk that sort of talks around that issue. V'samchu d'vrayim alav, kidei lahachzikam, Sheyiyu svurim duhumi d'oraisa. What are you saying? Likutei Maharil says, whenever you have an asmachta, it's the Rabbanan trying to convince the people that it's d'oraisa. Because the Rabbanan knew that if they would come out and say, we're making a new edict, a new takana, everyone would say, why do I got to listen to you? You're a rabbi, you know, you're not God. I remember I went to elementary school and high school with you. I saw what you were doing in high school. Like, you know, I have to listen to, all of a sudden I have to listen to you. So the Rabbanan, sometimes when they knew that people wouldn't listen to them, they dafka found a pasuk to make it plausible that people would believe that it's a daraisa. They then proceeded to present it as a daraisa, or I guess in more plain English, lie, right? And claim that it was a daraisa when it really wasn't. And people will be machmir about it, and then they won't be mezalzel and be mekel on the divrei chachamim. Wow! So that's not only that, the prima gadim, the psicha kolalas. Psicha kolalas is like the prima gadim's introduction to Torah Shebal Peh. Like he really presents, you know, all the different types of mitzvahs and isurim that are very kolalistic. He gives you, in fact, when I was a junior madrich on the NTSY kolal, many, many years ago, after my Shana Aleph in Karen Biavna, they bought gifts for all the madrichim on the NCSY kolal, and even for the junior madrichim who did absolutely nothing, but yeah, they got us a gift anyway. And they asked Rav Shechter what the gift should be, what sefer should they give. I think they still do, they give svarim, right? So they asked Rav Shechter what sefer to get. Oh, they stopped asking Rav Shechter. So oh, okay. So Mistama, they stopped asking. Yeah. So at the time he suggested psicha kolalas, that there was a beautiful edition of psicha kolalas of Prima Gadim that came out. So that's where I have my psicha kolalas from. Psicha kolalas writes that when you have a drabbanan with an asmachta, suffik Drabanu than Asmachtas L'chumra, even though Savik Drabanu Zakula, which would fit very nicely with that Likuti Maril, because Likuti Maril says that the Drabanu were pretending it's Daraisa. So if someone were to come and ask a Shaila and say, you know, I'm a Supuk about this, what do I do? So if you were to say, oh, you're Mekil, then they would say, wait, then it means it's Rabbanon. People would be on to us. But if we were presenting it as a Daraisa, you have to go all the way. You got to present it as a Daraisa, and it would have to be Suffolk, you'd have to be Suffolk L'chumra. Happens to be the Rav Yosef Engel is not particularly thrilled with this Maharil, and he says differently Kuti Maharil Anal Lanias Taiti Lo Mistavri Klal. He says it's not Mistavri at all. Velo Aam in Klal Sheyatzu Mipe Kadosh HaMaharil Zal. And then he says, I don't believe the Maharil ever said it, meaning I respect the Maharil, but I don't respect this statement. So this Likuti Maharil must have been, how do we have, Maharil wrote Likuti Maharil? No, it's from Talmidim's notebook. So, you know, like anybody who has Talmidim, some are stronger and some are not as strong in learning. Some are spacing out a little bit. Some are doodling their own chidushim on the side of the notebooks. So this was some Talmud's daydream of, you know, of what he thought Asmachta was. But this isn't real, says Rav Yosef Engel. But if you accept that Likuti Maharil, you understand why this would be a drabbanon chamur, that a drabbanon with an asmachta was a drabbanon that the drabbanon thought worthy of presenting as a din d'oraisa, and not just any din d'oraisa, but as a din d'oraisa that comes from Ten Commandments. So pretty serious stuff over here, right? This tomato is causing a lot of problems for this young lady, right? It's pretty serious stuff over here. When you're dealing with Brachal Vatala, you're dealing with a serious issue. Okay, so let's talk about the other issue. She doesn't want to violate Brachal Vatala. So what's her other option?
Yeah,
by the Kneva. How much is a piece of a tomato going to cost in a salad?
A lot.
What? At the YU calf prices. Yeah, what's a... Is it a Shavu'ruta? More than a Shavu'ruta? Yeah, definitely more than a Shavu'ruta. It might actually be more than a Shavu'ruta. No, how much is a salad? You buy the whole salad? You buy like a nice big salad?
It's good.
65 cents per ounce. How? Oh, tomatoes are pretty heavy fruit.
Yeah.
Vegetable, whatever. Right.
It's a cherry tomato, it's smaller.
If it's a cherry tomato, it's what?
0.5
ounces for a cherry tomato.
Oh, that's close.
And what is it? How much per?
65 cents.
Oh, that's way more than a pruta. Yeah, way more than a pruta. Okay, so stealing even less than a shav pruta zasir. In fact, God might even bring a mabul for doing things like that. Not again, but he once did. So it's definitely also to do. But stealing more than a shav pruta, as a, you know, is as a chiv hashava associated with it as well, that you have to return it. So you certainly are not allowed to steal in order to avoid violating your own avera, right? Meaning you can't violate another avera to avoid violating the avera of bracha levatala. Plus, at this point, you're an anus on the bracha levatala. You already said the bracha. So at this point, going forward, you could either actively steal or do the bracha levatala. So can you give me a svara why she would be allowed to put it in her mouth? Yeah, it's a little nothing that I marked it on it. So... What? Okay, it could be the namakbid, or let's put it differently. If a tomato fell on the counter, can they still sell that tomato?
Yeah.
In Stern, not here. In Stern, can they still sell that tomato? So it's possible that in Stern they can't sell that tomato anymore. If they can't sell the tomato, then it could be that you know that it's worthless to them at that point. But aside from that, what about if she's not stealing it, she's going to pay for it. She's going to put it in her mouth, and then she's going to go to the cash register and say, I'd like to pay a couple of extra pennies or whatever, an extra quarter for this piece of tomato, right? So are you allowed to steal almanas to pay later? So there's a Gemara about that, right? The Gemara says, in Masechta Matzias of Samachalvim Beis, lo signov almanas lemeikat, lo signov almanas l'shaim tashlum mekevel. That the Gemara says, you know, you might want to do chesed for somebody, and they don't want to take your money. They need tzedakah, but they don't want to take your money. They won't take your tzedakah because they're embarrassed. They want to be self-sufficient. Whatever reason, they don't want to take tzedakah. So you come up with a great chab. I'm going to steal from them. Bezin will then be mechayev me to pay kefel, and that would be minadin. I have to pay kefel. I'll pay twice as much, and then I'll be able to give them tzedakah. Only the best of intentions. right? So are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says no. Are you allowed to steal? I'm going to ask to give right back, right? Your friend goes out to the bathroom in the middle of class. He's got his laptop out where he's checking his fantasy football, whatever, but pretending to take notes. And then, you know, he comes back. You think, wouldn't it be funny if when he comes back, his laptop's not there? And you just pretend like, you know, nothing happened, right? So wouldn't that be so super funny? And then he'll be like, yo, dude, what did you do with my laptop? Give me my laptop back. And then you'll be like, oh, all right. You give it back. Okay. So are you allowed to do that? Says the Gemara. It's funny that you laugh because it's so plausible the way I so that wouldn't go in stern. So are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that either. You're not allowed to be gone of Amnas Lameka. The clear indication is you can't steal even with good intentions to pay back. Achronim, however, ask the following kasha. The Gemara Masechta Babasu Dafta Zayin tells us Dorosh Rava Maidichsiv Birchasovir Elitovo Velev Almana Arnin that Eov would steal fields from Yisomim, improve the fields, and return the fields. Eov was a big tzaddik. He would steal the fields, be mashbiach them, make them better from Yisomim, and then return them. So I ask all the Achronim, wait a second, you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara Bamitzia says that you're not allowed to be going to Elmanas Lameikat, even if you're doing it for good intentions. So how you answer that question may relate to whether she's allowed to be going to Elmanas Lashalim. So the Maram Shif on Bamitzia says that he dealt with this question in his Chidushim in Masechta Babasra, so look there. Sadly, there are several dapim in Masechta Babasra where we do not have the Chidushim of the Maram Shif, and that was one of them. So we're out of luck. Okay, so that one we're stuck. Okay, so let's move to another Achron. The Agos Rabbi Matzios Strashon says that Eov only did this with non-Jews. He wouldn't do this with Jews. You're not allowed to be gonev al menas lemeka to Jews, but you're allowed to do it to non-Jews. Again, you're not allowed to be gonev from non-Jews, but gonev al menas lemeka to steal in order to pay back and to give them an improved product or something like that, that you're allowed to do with non-Jews. Rav Elchanan Kovitz Yerim says almost the opposite, that a non-Jew is allowed to do this, meaning a non-Jew is not allowed to steal, but he's allowed to be gonev al menas lemeka. He's allowed to steal with the intention to pay back. And Eov, according to some opinions, was not Jewish. And if you go like that opinion that he was not Jewish, then it all works out. None of these answers will help us, right? Meaning, because this girl is a Jewish girl, and she is stealing from Jewish people, right? The Yeshiva University is Jewish. It's a Jewish university. I think this is a matter that's being adjudicated right now, but I think it is a university with a very, very Jewish character to it. The New York Times had a picture of Rabbi Yitzchak Cohn walking in front of it, right? That's as Jewish as one can possibly be. So you don't need me to tell you about how frum and how Jewish Yeshiva University is. So, any svara lahakel over here?
It's for sale. It's not like...
I mean, she's not stealing from someone who wants to keep it. She's taking it to pay for it. I mean, if you're in a supermarket, right, and you take a Snapple off the shelf, can you you're going to pay for it at checkout, can you drink it and just like have them scan it at checkout so that you pay for it then? Not so posh that that's awesome. You're going to pay for it the whole time. They're okay with you, you know, some places, customer service, they'll allow for that, especially Jewish University that's very sensitive to Brach Levatala, that, and she'll probably overpay for it, right? She'll probably pay 50 cents, you know, when it really should have only cost, whatever, 20 cents or whatever. Yeah.
So practically, can you do it with the coffee, like when you're walking up to pay, start drinking?
When you're walking up to pay, start, probably. Unless they're weighing the coffee, right? Meaning you shouldn't do it if they're gonna. Well, probably you can.
When you scan your
Snapple. When you scan the Snapple, right? No, but she's gonna pay for that which she ate. I don't know. There's what to argue. What about saying Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Leyom Ved? So it's not so clear. We don't have much time to get into it, but it's not so clear that saying Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Leyom Ved will help that much. Meaning, it definitely is what you're supposed to do if you said a bracha levatala, right? If you said a bracha and then you realize there's nothing to eat, so you should just say Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Leyom Ved. That's definitely what you're supposed to do. Question is, what are the mechanics of it? How does it work? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Reish Vav and Aruch Chaim, HaTakana Shel Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Leyom Ved Al Bracha Levatala Lo Nisbayer Hatam. He says, I don't get the reason for it. You know, the example I always give is like, you ever like walk into a room on Shabbos and accidentally turn on the light? So how do you, let's assume you don't then just shut it off. No, right? So how do you, say, the cross of the Shabbos Oneg, you know, like there's no, like, you can't just like say a pasuk about that thing that you just did and make it better, right? Where does that come from? You just say, Baruch Shem, Gomach, Zol, Yom, Abracadabra, and it goes away. So he says, Vulai, so therefore you need to be mekabel of al malchus shemayim, meaning it doesn't fix the bracha levatala, but it at least shows I do respect the shem shemayim. So I'm saying baruch shem kol malchus olam ve'ed, but it doesn't fix the problem of bracha levatala. The Yerushalmi's lashon though is tzarich lomar baruch shem kol malchus olam ve'ed shelo lahazkir shem shemayim levatala. Makes it sound like in the Tshuvas Panim Yiras writes this way explicitly, that it actually does fix the Avera. And there are many nafkaminas whether it fixes the Avera or not. One nafkamina might be, do you have to say it immediately? So Chayadim says, yeah, you have to say it right away. But the Eshel Avram Mibachach, Avram David Mibachach, says that it's only a Midas Chasidus Shalayavli De Shikha to say it immediately. But you don't really need to say it immediately. What's the nafkamina? Why is that a nafkamina between these two reasons? That if you hold that it mamish fixes it, you can really fix it, so then maybe that takana to fix it is only b'tokad de dibur. It has to be like right away. But if it's just to show, look, Hashem, I really do love you, and I really do respect the Shem Hashem. So whenever you remember, say that, and that's good, and that's making the point. Another nafkamina is, does it have to be Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed? What if you say something else that's really not? Shem Hashem. I don't know, whatever. You want to say something like that? So you're allowed to say that. So that might be enough kamina. If it fixes Bracha Levatala, so it could be the takana was, this is what fixes Bracha Levatala. But if it's just a matter of making a statement that I appreciate the Shem Hashem, so make the statement in any other way. The Rambam, in fact, writes, so it will give me a few minutes. The Rambam, in fact, writes that Ketzal Omer Hashem, Omer Baruch Hu Liolam Ve'ed. Oh, Gadol Hu Mehul Ol Ma'od. Ukayotze Bazeh. Ram sounds like it's Lav Davka Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed. And the most important nafkamina for us is our Shaila. Right? Meaning if Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed actually fixes Bracha Levatala, just say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed, fixed, no problem. But if it doesn't really fix the Yisr of Bracha Levatala, so then you do have a problem. Then you still have this tension over here. So what are the Eitzos? So one Eitza is, one of the Talmidim suggested, put it in your mouth and spit it out. You said the bracha, put it in your mouth, chomp down once, and spit it out. Right? And that way the weight will be there, some of your saliva will come out with it also. You also will have tasted the flavor of the tomato, so we'll have justified the bracha. That's a question whether that actually requires a bracha, but the Rambam writes that a mat emes, ainat tzricha bracha lefanev, lo lachareha ad revius, and the Kesem Mishnah says that even if you're toim and you're boleya a little bit, you don't say a bracha. However, the Rambam also writes that aval achal pachus mikazayis bein min apas bein mishar ochlin vashos pachus miravias mivarich b'tchila bracha ruia losemin ulosof ein mivarich klal. So apparently there is no shear of bracha rishona. So which is it? So apparently it all depends on your intention. If you're being toim means that you're putting it in your mouth not because you want to eat. You're putting it in your mouth just because you want to see how it tastes. I don't know if I like these tomatoes, so let me try one, right? It's like 16 handles, where you go and they give you the free sample, right? You just want to see what it tastes like. So you go to check it. So that maybe doesn't require bracha. But if you're putting it in your mouth to eat it, no matter how tiny amount you eat, no matter how small an amount you eat, you would still say a bracha. So maybe that's an eitzah. Another eitzah might be, borrow another tomato of similar size, put it on the scale, and then put it back, right? Meaning take it, put it on a separate clean, one of those little plastic, you know, things, those plastic cups, put it on the scale, and then put it back afterwards. I wrote in my notes over here, another option is overpay by a nickel, but we just discovered that won't be nearly enough. So overpay by a quarter or whatever, and, you know, that's also an option. So one of the Talmidim suggested, why not just pay quickly? Just don't talk until after you pay. And then you just give your credit card, and then, so how much of a hefsik is a hefsik when it comes to bracha Rishona? So it's not so clear. There is a discussion in Rishonim about Hefsik. The Shibali Alekid is medayik from Yerushalmi that if you make a bracha on a food and you're not able to eat it right away, you have to make a bracha again. And he says it's mistaver that the shir is Shalom Alecha Rabbi Mori, that is Sokhi De Dibur, which does not give this girl enough time. However, the Abu Dram disagrees and he says, B'dieved, Shtika is not a Hefsik. If you speak, it's a Hefsik. But if you're just silent, you silently wait there, it's not a hafsik. La halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Reish Vav, Gimel, Kol Elu HaBrachos Sarek Shol HaHafsik Ben Brach LaAchila. And the Rama writes, Yosur Mikadei Dibur, that you're not allowed to be mafsik more than Kadei Dibur. And however, that's only L'Chachila. But B'diyeved, the Mishnah Berurah says, Afilu Im Shasak Zman Rav, Eino Tzarek L'Achzor L'Varech. Zman Rav! How do you quantify Zman Rav? Not sure exactly, but apparently more than Tok Kadei Dibur, you could be Shosik. So maybe it's not. Maybe that's not a bad Eitza. So, in conclusion, she obviously only asked after the fact because she couldn't ask at the moment. But probably, unless she was emailing me, you know. But probably the best thing to do is to eat it, assuming mechila, and then pay back later. Meaning, assume that they would be mochel, that, you know, paying afterwards in this circumstance, because probably I just had a meeting this afternoon with President Berman. I could have asked him, you know, what do you, I don't know, if you, I guess the board of directors would be the people to ask, I don't know, whoever, but why is that better than the Mishnah Berurah? Because I wasn't sure what Zman Rav is. Zman Rav might be too much of a Zman Rav, I don't know. This might be more than a Zman Rav. I don't know how long he could be quiet.
Is your mom saying you sure? Eating it at the counter.
Maris Ayin issue, more of a chashad issue. Probably no one's going to think it's mutter to steal, but people will think that you're a bad person, right? So, yeah, maybe a chashad issue. Nafkamina is that a few bechadri chadarim would apply to Maris Ayin, so do it surreptitiously. You know.
If you're overpaying,
yeah,
then it doesn't matter if it's your parents' money versus yours.
Just tell me your parents will allow you. As a Yeshiva University parent, I would be more than happy to pay the extra quarter.
Ribbis.
What? Ribbis. It's not ribbis. You didn't borrow anything. You're paying. You're just overpaying. Well, no. Okay. That's a shayla anyway. Okay. A good Shabbos, everybody.